Marcus, the fifth Duke of Ortonbury, woke with a startled jolt, face down, in horse shit. At least, he assumed the reeking matter was the product of a horse. Several of the beasts could be heard neighing around him, and he had spent a good amount of his life in the stables around horses. He knew the stink of horse excrement. Pain splintered his skull as he pushed himself up.
Bloody hell.
What happened to him? Wiping his face with the cuff of his jacket, he sat up fully and looked around, finding himself the subject of scrutiny. Several pairs of eyes stared at him through the slats of the stall. Children, he surmised. The eyes did not appear to be over 5 feet in height, and they talked in high-pitched voices. Of course, that could be his overly sensitive ears.
When do you think he's going to wake? Oh, he's been in that horse muck for hours now.
No until tomorrow. Whenever my pa drinks, he sleeps for days.
He's big, isn't he?
Good morning,
he greeted drolly, trying not to breathe too deeply of the surrounding stench. The eyes blinked at him.
Oh, he talks funny,
the small one exclaimed.
I don't suppose you could tell me where I am,
he inquired, glancing down at himself and wincing. There was a good amount of dung on his once pristine jacket. Several giggles and titters met his question.
You don't know where you are,
one child demanded rather boorishly.
What kind of dolt are you?
A spectacular one,
he grumbled, rising to his feet and ignoring the knifing pain in his skull. More giggles. He staggered a step toward the stall door. The children on the other side of the door shrieked and ran. Their footsteps pounded a swift retreat that matched the hammer in his skull. He attempted to lift the latch. No luck. It was barred from the outside.
Of course,
he muttered, leaning against the stall wall and appreciating the support. He burrowed through his inside pocket to locate a handkerchief. He mopped off bits of hay and muck from his face, wondering how he had fallen so low. Had his life really come to this? He could not recall having ever slept in so undignified a situation. He'd woken in all manner of locations, but always on a bed or a chaise. Once at school, he'd fallen asleep on his desk when he stayed up late studying. This was an ignoble first. Heavy, dragging footsteps approached. No child, he presumed. A jingle of keys preceded a scratching at the door, and then the stall door swung wide. A face peered inside at him, the eyes small, dark beads in a broad, flat face.
You're awake,
the fellow announced inanely.
I am,
he returned mildly, scratching his jaw through an itchy growth of hair as he stared down at his boots. Their high shine buff had long since faded. His valet back in London would be horrified, but their lack of luster felt appropriate. He felt like his boots, dull and dusty.
Thought a night locked up might take the wind out of your sails.
Ah, so he had been incarcerated, for what infraction he could not recall. He glanced around again, seeing the stall for what it was, a jail. He recalled stopping at an inn, yesterday, in some remote village. He could not remember the name of the village. They had all begun to blur. He'd passed through many of them on his journey north. He lifted his head and stared at his jailer.
Might I inquire of my crime? You have no memory then?
The man swiped at his red, bulbous nose.
You practically destroyed old Alvin's taproom when John Smithy objected to your handling of Ravina.
Ravina? The name rang familiar. He fluttered his fingers near his head, as if that might help conjure forth the details.
Was she a black-haired lass?
Aye,
the man nodded. Ravina was aptly named. The serving wench had roving hands. When she'd served him his dinner, she'd plopped down beside him, her greedy paws making short work of freeing him from inside his breeches and seizing onto his cock right there beneath the table. A nearby fellow had objected to Ravina's enthusiastic attentions.
Perhaps that had been John Smithy. Marcus remembered little after that.